Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Okay. All right, once you're there, let's read these verses together. All right, Philippians 2, 1 to 4, reading. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Right, God bless the reading of His Word. Right, and today we shall cover from verses 2 to 4. Right, previously, if you just quickly remember, right, we're talking about there's this need for humility as we talk about unity. Right, Christian unity is a theme of this passage down here. Right, and hopefully we will go deeper into it today and learn more about what true unity is. Right, so in verse 1, what we have done last week is that we have talked about the consolation that we can find in Christ, how it's common in every believer, the comfort of love that all of us have received of it. Talks also of the fellowship of the Spirit, right? How we all are bound by the same Holy Spirit within all of us, right? Guiding us in our actions and our thoughts as we read of the same sacred scriptures. Right? Not just that, if any bowels and mercies, talks about the compassion and kindness that every Christian ought to be able to show. Right, and so today, from verses 2 to 4, we shall go deeper into a study of what true unity is all about. Right, and as, again, as we talk about the Philippian Christians, we do not know exactly, but as you read through the epistle, it's possible to get some hints to know that there might be some discord, some amount of disunity happening amongst the Philippian Christians. And for a Christian church to have such an amount of disunity written, to have strivings and all kinds of arguments, it presents a terrible testimony. Well, you imagine you bring your friends, you bring your family members in, and then they come to a church, you realize that within the church itself, there's all sorts of strivings and arguments going on. Right? That's definitely not the kind of testimony that we want. Right? You can imagine you go up there to the pulpit, you hear a message on love, on mercy, about kindness, about the grace of God, and the next thing you know, church members fighting one with another. But that cannot be the case. Alright, and verse 2 down here it says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Right, in your notes on page 30 that you receive of today, I've broken down the verse for you. Alright, so you'll notice that the Apostle Paul, one of the points that he stresses on, alright, in this first part of verse 2 is on the mind. Alright, it says here, that ye be like-minded and of one mind. Right, and what we have here in the King James Bible is translated very accurately, because that's exactly what it says. First of all, like-minded, I believe it refers to the individual mind. Right? All of us, I believe, you know, we are brought up in different environments, we have different backgrounds, different characters and everything. Right? All of us will be different in some way or the other, we will be of a different mind. But being a Christian, if you are saved unto Christ, right, and if you know you are regenerate, if you are a child of God, then it is possible, right, for all of us as Christians, no matter how different we are in character, experiences, or whatever it might be, it is possible for every single Christian to be like-minded. Right? That means every single one of us arriving at the same conclusion in such a way, where when we want to do something, whether it's organizing an event, teaching a Sunday school, or doing any part of the ministry as we serve together one with another. And you know, it's very hard to come to church and, you know, not, I mean, don't want to serve, just be a loner, be by yourself, don't want to do it. I mean, you can do that, but every Christian we know, right, as we serve, we have to interact. We have to work with others around us. Right? And so as you work, every single one of us, we are able, right, to arrive at the same manner in which we do something. Right? And the second phrase down here, of one mind, I believe it says literally of one mind. It means such a way that when you compare individual minds, everyone will come to the same conclusion, the same purpose and same objective as we serve the Lord together. And that is something that all of us Christians, we have to pray for. We have to pray for such an amount of unity within the church that as we serve God, we come together with the right purpose, right objectives in mind. Because you don't, right, it's definitely going to be a mess. Can you imagine you come to Sunday school, you're going to organize a VBS, right? Then those who are playing the music will want to do their own thing. Those who are perhaps teaching will want to do their one other thing. Arts and crafts will want to do other thing. And, you know, each section wants to do their own things and you lose all sight of why you're having the VBS in the first place. Right, that's why it's very important, I believe, every single time as we serve the Lord. You know, sometimes as you practice a choir, especially, right, not just that, but as you usher, as you serve in Sunday school, it's a very routine thing sometimes. Right, week after week, you come and you do the same thing over and over and over again. And sometimes when it becomes practice and ritual, you don't think twice about it. Then after a while, you forget why you're singing in the first place. It just becomes a habit and practice. Right, and that's when we become complacent, we lose sight of the objective of why we're singing in the first place, why we are ushering in the first place. Is your job just to stand there and arrange hymn books for people? That's not the job of an usher exactly, isn't it? It's more than that, right? It's part of it. So as we serve the Lord, right, it's very important that our minds are right. Right. Every single one of us, of course, we know that as we serve the Lord, it's to please the Lord. Right, to glorify Him. And if we're not of the same mind together, definitely there'll be arguments and discord, for sure. Right, if you're just striving for yourself and you just want to do your own things, and you know, when you lose sight of all objectivity. Right, and this happens, and you know, as you work out there in the world, it happens. In companies, in departments, in school, it happens. You play sports, it happens. Right, when every person wants to score a goal, the team can't work that way. Alright, so this is something that we're all familiar with, but in the Christian sense, of course we have an even higher standard. Right? Because that's why Paul mentioned, right, we have the fellowship of the Spirit, we have the same God that binds all of us. We have the same Holy Spirit guiding our hearts and our minds, and so why not? It's not an impossible task, right, for all of us to arrive at the same purpose and objective. Right? Of course, we know the general one is to glorify God and all that, but more specifically, of why we're doing certain things, why we are going forth to do tracting. Right, why we are singing for this occasion and all that. Right, it goes deeper and deeper. Right, for all of us, it is our responsibility as an individual Christian to make sure we know. Right, because you come to the choir, for example, right, all of us are singing out here, 10, 15 people, how are you going to check that everyone is here with the right objective? It's a bit difficult, isn't it? Right, and so it starts with all of us, every one of us. We have to make sure that our minds are guarded right. That we don't let ourselves, what we want, our desires, seep into it. But we make sure we know that we are serving to please the Lord, to glorify Him. That's the like-mindedness that we have. And when everyone is doing the same thing, that's when everyone will come and serve in one mind. Same objective, same purpose. And that's what Paul stresses in down here, that ye be like-minded and of one mind. Right? And that's just us talking about the mind. Right? But he doesn't just talk about the mind, but he talks even deeper. Right? In the middle section of this phrase, you can look, this is two parts. First portion here is having the same love. Right? Second portion here is being of one accord. And these two are paired together. First of all, this love, having the same love, the love is none other, of course, than the agape love of Christ. Right? Paul chooses not to talk about the brotherly love. Right? We can have this brotherly love where we show kindness and encouragement one to another. But he goes deeper. He says that we have the same love. We have it already. And we continue to have it. Right? Ever since we came to know of Christ, ever since we come to believe in Him, we have this love of God within us already. It is present. It cannot be something that's alien to a Christian. Right? It is part of us. It's agape love. This love that is self-denying, self-sacrificial. And that's how you can arrive at like-mindedness, isn't it? When you want to deny yourself. Right? When you want to make sure you're serving just to focus on the Lord. It's not just an exercise of your mind. You sit there and then you try to cycle yourself. Oh, must serve the Lord, serve the Lord, serve the Lord. You don't do that. It's far more than that. Holy Spirit guiding our hearts too. Letting us remember that we are Christians, people of God. We have known of the love of Christ, and therefore when we serve with the same heart, the same love of God that we have. And when we all love God together, of this same love that we share, this same love towards God, and that's when we realize, you know, as much as we look towards Christ, how He denied Himself, how He humbled Himself, right, to come and die for us. And when we serve God in the same manner, right, we can serve in such a manner of humility. Knowing that we ourselves, we can be Christ-like, denying ourselves to, right, carrying and bearing the burden of the cross to serve Him, to follow after Him. And we all know this for a fact, we know the verses, but when it comes to testing of the heart, that's where it's challenged sometimes. Sometimes in a choir perhaps, or in a Sunday school, when you see someone doing better than you are, when you see someone singing better than you, when you see someone teaching better than you are, then someone's pride and envy, jealousy can come in. And you can lose sight of focus. You just want to be better, just to be this person. Sing louder than this person. Sing better than this person. You know, usher, be more friendly than this person. Right? Just to get attention for yourself, or, I don't know, just to make yourself feel better that I'm the best usher, or the best whatever. Right? So, that can creep within our hearts. And that's why we make sure that this love It's always a love towards God first. Not just objective in the mind, but within the heart too. Right? And that's the same love that we ought to practice. It is a very pure and high standard of Christian service. Something that you will not exactly expect out there, and the world cannot have. Right? As much as you know, colleagues or in your own company perhaps, right? You know that people who might love the company, right? You go all out, sacrifice your time and all that just for the company that they have set up and everything. Right? For their work, for the money or whatever it might be. But down here in church, it's a whole different thing. Entirely different. Because we talk about a soul. We talk about a spiritual man. It's not just you striving for pay or for your bonus or your performance bonus or whatever these things might be. It's far more than that. You're striving for the glory of God. You're striving for the name of Christ. Right? And that's why this second phrase down here, being of one accord. Right? What does one accord mean? One accord is just not saying that, oh, we're all together bound in one accord and then that's it. But it means literally down here, it means souls together. Right, it's written in the third paragraph, in the bottom section. Right, or souls united together. Souls coming together and being the same soul in a sense. Right, and what I believe the Apostle Paul is trying to express down here is that this harmony, that this union here that's built within the church amongst believers, this particular bond between brothers and sisters in Christ, that the world will not be able to have. That only we as Christians can understand and have. That's something that's very special that we have. This one accord that we all have, being under the same God, having the same Redeemer and Savior, having the same Word of God to guide us. You can go on and on. All the things that we share in unity in common. Souls that are alike. Souls that are bound together for heaven. Souls that are saved. Souls that are regenerate and reformed. Souls sanctified by God. Not souls bound to hell. Right? Not souls serving after their own lust in the world. That is who we all are. And that is what we have, this wonderful and very unique bond, the tie that binds all of us. Right? And are we alike in such a manner? Are we serving God in this same spirit, where we are bound together by the same love and us all striving in this harmony? It has to be in such a way. That's the high standard the Word of God has laid it down for all of us. It must be like that. We cannot take things into our own hands, want to do our own things and all that. No, there's a higher objective and purpose. Right? And it's not just men who checks us. Our bosses sometimes they can check on our performance and that's about it. And sometimes you can smoke your way through. Right? You can put up a face and then bluff your way through. But you can't do it like that in church. Right? We might seem very active, serving week after week, coming very fervently, attending all the services, attending all the events. That's good. That's one part of it. If you've been doing so, thank God for His fervency. But it's far more than that. It's not just how much you appear, how much you do, but it's within your heart. Within your soul. And that God knows. God only knows. And that's why it starts on an individual. All of us. We have to check and make sure that we are of this similar condition. Because if not, things might go well for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road. But one fine day, if we let ourselves, we just lose all purpose, lose all heart, that's when strife will happen. Disunity will happen. That's when sin creeps into the church. That's when the world creeps into the church. And how can we serve and glorify the name of the Lord when we are serving in such a manner? We can't. It starts from every single individual. And all of us, we have to submit one to another. That we're going to talk about more. Right? Examples one to another. Every single one of us. Not just the leaders, but every single member. Because all of us, every single soul here in church, we all serve. We all live for Christ. Same objective. Whether you're a leader or a member, whether you're a new Christian or an old Christian, doesn't matter. Same heart, same mind that we need in Christ to serve Him well. That's the true unity that we ought to have. Right? That's how we ought to serve Christ in. Same objective. And that's how we keep moving on. That's how we keep serving. Alright? So it's not just for us in unity, but it ministers and it speaks to the soul for the individual too. Right? And it starts from within, from the individual, and it extends to all of us together as Christians too. That's how it is, one towards another. It's a bond, harmony within the church. The heart, the mind. And both must be with each other. You can have the right objective in your mind. You come here, you tell yourself, I'm going to serve a lot. But in your heart, if your heart is not right, you still bear sin, you still bear iniquity, you still bear pride within your heart. It's not going to work out well. Right? You might know all the facts. Okay, I'm here to sing for the Lord. I'm here to serve for the Lord in this manner. But within your heart can lead you astray. And likewise, the other way around. You come here with a fervency of heart. Right, so you go all out, you throw in all your strength, time and effort, you sacrifice to the Lord, in a sense. Right? But then if your mind is not focused at all, you forget why you're doing this. It's going to end up in a mess. Right? They both need each other, the heart and the mind. That's what Trinity is about in every single one of us. We contribute towards it as Christians, with God guiding us, granting to us the grace and faith to do so. That's how unity starts, from the individual. All it takes is one sometimes, right? Just takes one individual. Takes one of us, when we don't watch ourselves, when we're not careful, when we slip up, when we let ourselves get the better of ourselves. You know, we let our own pride get the better of ourselves. Then all it takes is just one person sometimes to cause a lot of dissension. We have to be careful. We have to guard our souls. Not just for our own sake, but for Christ's sake. Right? Not just Christ's sake, but for each other's sake. Do not be a stumbling block in such a way. That's how important unity is. Right? And as we have talked so much about the condition of the soul and the spirit, right? As we come to verses 3 and 4, now Paul talks about a practical unity. Right? It's like a bit of like within the heart and the mind, this unity that we are supposed to have within. Right? But now, in verses 3 to 4, Paul is going to talk about practically, how do we practically go about in this unity, right? Inward man has been in the right place, sets the foundations and motives right. Then naturally, right? Naturally, the outward man will be real, will be genuine, right? Because the outward man sounds easy to fake, right? You come here, big bright smile, warm handshake, right? How are you, brother? Right? Looks very good, isn't it? But within the heart, that's the question that we all have to examine ourselves within, right? And so we have to make sure, right? Otherwise, if it's not in sync, all outward shows and everything, it's just hypocrisy, isn't it? It's just putting up wayang, right? As people would say in the army often. Just come out, make a show, and then that's it. It's not that. It starts from within. Every single one of us. Right? To please the Lord. And so outwardly, how do we do it practically? Right? Unity. In verse 3, it says here in the first portion, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Right? The Apostle Paul is very specific. Let nothing be done. Right? We know that church work is active. You're doing certain things. You're serving here and there. Right? So whatever that we do, whether it's great, whether it's small, whether it's in front of people, whether it's privately at home, or whatever that we do. It's not just the work that we do for our church, but in our lives or so. Everything that we do in life. Alright, don't just think, oh, church work must do very faithfully. Yeah, outside, I can live the way that I want. Not exactly. I believe he talks about the whole entire Christian life. All the work that we do, whatever it might be. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Right, and the words that he uses here are very specific. Strive here down here, I've written in your notes. Alright, it's a very, very interesting word. It's very rich in its description. It can be used to describe a term as a laborer, right, who works only for wages, a hireling basically. That means you only work if it's a reward. Right? And then you come to service, I only want to serve if people can see me, right? If somehow I can become a bit more popular in church. Is that the way that we serve? To serve for that amount of honor and glory for ourselves? Do we only serve in such a way so that, oh, I serve in this ministry so I can build up a better relationship with people, then you can gain all some benefits from them. Right? You do not serve for a reward in such a way where you just want to reap benefits for yourself. That is not the way it should go. Not for your own glory, not for your own benefits, not for gaining more friends or whatever it might be. Right? Like youth, for example, why do you come to YF? Is it just coming to YF just to find your future life partner? Right? Things like that. So why do you come to church? Why do you serve and all that? It's very important in motives. Right? Not for your own self. Right? Not for some kind of reward that you want for yourself or something. And it's not just that. It can also refer to a mercenary who will fight for any cause for the sake of reward. That means you'll do anything. And that describes the manner. You do things in strife. You are just pursuing for that reward. Whether it's for honor, whether it's for power, whether it's for your own glory. Rest be assured, alright? If that is your objective, you will do anything just to get it. Now, then, of course, in the corporate world, again, we know how it happens, right? People who want their names as the CEO or whatever it might be, to be the manager, they will fight tooth and nail just to get their names on the door, right? Their names will be on the newspapers, right? Top earners and all that kind of things. People will fight for all that kind of things, and they will do anything to get it, even if it means the cost of friendship, even if it means saboing the rest or, you know, putting others down, backstabbing. All this happens in the world. We as Christians, we cannot be like that. We are not mercenaries striving for our own cause or anything. We are servants of the Lord. We ought to be servants of the Lord, serving Christ. That's why we do not lose sight of our objectives. When we begin to strive for our own glory, it becomes very obvious. Right, soon you will start forsaking all biblical principles. You will justify all your actions to do anything that you want. You will lie, you will do whatever it means Right, mock others, bring down others, malign others, whatever it might be. You just do anything to claim what you want. That's not service. That's striving. It's a word that's so rich. And not just that. This word can also be used to describe someone who spins wool. Right? It's a person who weaves and spins wool. And in an extended sense, it means one who, you know, when you campaign or strive for a position, right? Like what politicians do. What do? They spin out stories and promises, right? You have to spin out things like that. You have to produce something out. And that's what this word refers to also. You try to conjure up things, make up things. Right? Either it's for your own benefit or to conjure up strife. Make sure people fight so that you appear better than them, or whatever it might be. Right? So this word has so much meaning into it. But the main thing is this. Right? Striving is something that's very deadly. It's very poisonous, very toxic. It can destroy relationships. And it must not happen. It must never ever happen within the church. Because we have the love of Christ. How can we do things like that? We cannot strive in such a manner. We don't serve ourselves. We serve the Lord. And this leads on to his next term, vainglory down there. It just means empty glory. And all for what? All to get the honour, title, popularity. All to get the money that you want to store up on this earth. All the riches and wealth that you can have. Right? And all those things that you store up. It's vainglory if it's not done for God. Because it's just for your own glory. Your name will be forgotten. All names will be forgotten. You can be etched somewhere in the church directory. That, oh, you've done this many things. And, oh, you've been serving everywhere. Your pictures can be everywhere. You serve everywhere in the church. But what are all these things? It's just externals. But are all these things done for the glory of the Lord? Because that only God can see sometimes. And that we have to check and make sure that we are serving in the right manner. It must not be for vain glory. Right, make sure hearts and minds, our souls, our entire lives live for Christ. Right, not for such vain glory. And when we are right in such a way, it leads on to what we find in second part of verse 3. Right, and if we do so, if we always have this heart of a servant in a sense, right, a heart that's always very humble, to know that we are just servants of God, following God's will, following our divine master's will, then naturally, right, this will appear. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Lowliness of mind is something that is hardly promoted in our society. Right from day one, even in kindergarten, right, you have things like, oh, best student, best this, best that, right? It's always promoted we must be the best in everything, especially in Singapore culture. Right? In every class that we go to, best this, best that, right, all the way up to the workplace, best employee, best this, best that, all the awards given. We're constantly being in a society where we have to pursue for all these kind of things, where we're driven to do all sorts of things. But when we serve Christ, when we serve God, we have to remember that with lowliness of mind, we have to remember that we are just lowly sinners saved by grace. That's it. While we pursue, yes, for the excellence of Christ, for the glory of God, that's the only thing that we pursue of. We do not pursue for anything that will glorify ourselves. That's the spirit of being of a lowly mind down here. Humility. Right? And this will allow us to esteem each other better than, to let each esteem other better than themselves. Or better than ourselves in such a way. There's a tendency for all of us to start comparing naturally. Right? You serve anywhere, whether it's out there in the world or in the church. Tendency for us is to compare, to gauge how good or how well we're doing. It might be a very neutral thing in a sense, where you think, oh, it's okay, I'm gauging my performance to see how well am I doing. Right? But then after a while, does it become some form of competition? Right? Where you just want to be better and better than the rest to show that you're far above the rest. It's not a competition. We must have this mindset where we esteem each other better than ourselves. We have to understand and know, right, where we must submit one to another. Right? In scriptures, it's a common theme. We find it in Ephesians chapter 5 or so. Right? Where we're able to submit each other to submit to each other in such a sense. Right? And that works not just in our church, but we know in a family or so. Husband and wife is the same thing. And all that. Submission. Because everyone at the end of the day submits to the Lord. Everyone at the end of the day serves the Lord. That's true submission. That's why all of us, we have to be humble to the Lord. Lowly of mind, esteeming each other better than ourselves. And lastly, in verse 4, a very practical point. Right, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This verse tells us that you must not just mind your own business. Right? Correct? We always say, mind your own business. But what this verse tells us is that it's not just about yourself. But yes, it's very important, right? We have mentioned so much. Check your heart, check your mind, check your objectives and all that. But we have a certain responsibility also for other brothers and sisters in Christ. When we see things happening that are not right,
There is a certain amount of Christian care that we still have to show to others around us, not just within our families, also friends around us, church mates and all that, any other Christian and all that. Alright, am I my brother's keeper? It's a question to ask ourselves. We have to be, isn't it? And is that not the argument of Cain? Alright, am I my brother's keeper? That was his response. A response of defiance against God. Who is he? Am I my brother's keeper? That is sometimes our spirit and our attitude, very sadly. Right? Because we just want to mind our own business, or mind my own family's business. The other families, they do their own thing. Don't care. Is that all that there is to it? And you call this unity? Not exactly. And we have to watch out for each other too. That's one thing. Whether you're old Christian or new Christian, doesn't matter. Sometimes you might think, new Christians. Right? When someone tells us something and they're a new Christian, you might think that, this new Christian, what does he know? I've been in church for so long. Do we have this attitude? We must not have it. Right? It's a very, very dangerous attitude that sometimes happens in churches, very sadly. People who think they've been in church for 20, 30 years and they know better. Right? True enough, yes, experience counts for some things and all that, but still, there must be the humility of heart. If you know that someone says something and it's true, then we have to eat humble pie, basically. Repent. Because that's how we watch out for each other. That's how we keep this openness. Otherwise, if just all of us mind our own business, then why serve together? Right? Why do we talk about Christian unity? Why do we sing, blessed be the tie that binds, or whatever it might be? Right? Why do we even talk about fellowship if we don't care for each other? If our fellowship is only just confined around food, that's not much, is it? It's not just exchanging of news. It's more than that. It's a Christian care and love one for another. Hard to practice sometimes. Hard, but it shouldn't be. Right? And it's difficult times, might give excuses. Oh, we see each other in church only for a few hours on Sunday. Don't know much of each other. Then we have to take the time and effort to do that. Right? Every single one of us striving for this Christian unity, because we serve a lot together. We glorify the same Lord. That is what we ought to have. It is our heart and our mind condition. And I pray that, as we talk about Christian unity in this passage, it's a very short passage, very concise. But in the whole Bible, I believe this is one of the best passages, or one of the most concise and most packed passages that talk about Christian unity. And I pray that all of us, as God's own people, we will strive for it and move forward with the same cause in mind, glorifying God, serving Him, right, as Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. Right, let us pray.